You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I felt for quite some time that the whole Russian hoax was simply a diversionary operation to misdirect the American public from the real wrongdoing of the Clinton campaign and members inside the FBI and Department of Justice that were complicit in this. And of course, the news media is also complicit. They were either duped or they're fully complicit in the entire Russian hoax. The four-year attempted coup against a legitimately elected president of the United States. This is a major scandal.
It is a major scandal, and it's being ignored. Those are the words of Wisconsin Senator, Republican, Ron Johnson. The media complicit, probably very active in the cover-up of the Durham report that's just come out, and what took place when all the Russian collusion stories were circulating all around. February 16th, 2020. We are live streaming right now at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube. If you're near a monitor, you can pull up Larry Connors USA YouTube. I've also posted on various pages. Hit the link. You'll be right there. Glad to have you watching. It's a good way for me to communicate beyond just the voice, and I love it. And judging by the audience, they love it too. Yeah, I get excited in here sometimes. You hear my voice? On here, you're going to see it. All right, let me get to this issue. So here is Senator Johnson, one of many, saying the media is complicit in all this. And I ask you, riddle me this. Where have you seen the Durham probe covered, and I don't mean one or two lines, I mean actually covered by the New York Times, CNN, NNN, MSNBC, and all the rest of the state-controlled media? You'll spend a lot of time looking for it, and if you do, it's way down. We're going to be joined later by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, Institute, I should say. And he certainly knows constitutional law, and he also knows the laws around the First Amendment. And this case in particular, you'll want to hear what Hans has to say about the cover-up that still continues, even as I speak, and will all the way up to November and past. Speaking of November, Biden, of course, talking tough, showing, hey, I am a good president. I'm strong. I'm up here. He delivered his message yesterday, just as we were beginning to wrap up our program. You're going to hear him today. And he talks tough to Russia. And now Russia is moving some tanks around. Putin is suggesting they're pulling back troops. Not going to be an invasion. That it was Biden trying to wag the dog based off that movie that said it was kind of parody of when Clinton got caught with Malinsky to find out something that we could distract everybody with and let's start a war somewhere. Well, a lot of folks think that Putin is still lying and it might be just a head fake. Of course, at this point, both Biden and Putin can claim they've won. And then Project Veritas breaking out a story of a FDA commissioner, 22 years with the FDA, and says that Biden wants vaccines forever. And that means millions, billions and billions of dollars for the pharma companies, and the FDA will be approving it because it's a hand swap. Give me money, I give you something. Give me money, give you something. It happens like that. And to that extent, Your children are being used as pawns in this game. That also becomes evident as we go through this program today. The trucker's convoy, freedom convoy, continues. They have relented in some areas, but, of course, they got threatened by the dictator, Trudeau. We will seize your trucks. We will seize your license. We will seize your personal house, your income, and then ordering banks to report any kind of money going into any of the FundMe reports gathered money for the truckers. You talk about a dictatorship. It gets nasty. Senator Kennedy of Louisiana calls him out in very harsh terms. And we will bring you up to date on all of that. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If Russia does invade in the days and weeks ahead, the human cost for Ukraine will be immense. And the strategic cost for Russia will also be immense. If Russia attacks Ukraine, it'll be met with overwhelming international condemnation. The world will not forget that Russia chose needless death and destruction. Invading Ukraine will prove to be a self-inflicted wound. The United States and our allies and partners will respond decisively.
Well, those are pretty strong words from President Biden regarding Russia invading Ukraine. Those words delivered yesterday. What's happened since then? Well, after he made that statement, there is Russian video that shows tanks leaving Crimea, the part they annexed back in 2014. But NATO and the U.S. are disputing the claim. The Russian Defense Ministry put up this video showing tanks and military vehicles leaving after a drill. All along, all the way back to October, Putin had been saying, we're going to carry out military drills. They're going to happen at the edge of Ukraine. They're going to be at the northern portion of Ukraine. And they're going to be in the Black Sea to the south of Ukraine with our naval ships. All exercises. Nothing to it. Nothing to see here. And yet also making it clear that he wants no more eastward expansion of freedom countries. He does not want Ukraine in NATO. If NATO admits Ukraine, with our agreement with NATO, we are obligated to put troops into Crimea, into Ukraine to fight the invasion. It's a plus for us. It's a plus for NATO right now that they don't have to do anything like that. But Ukraine obviously wants to be in NATO. the majority does, Zelensky. But there are breakaway republics inside Ukraine that are actually being funded by the Russians. I don't mean just giving money. They're given weapons and modern-day weapons. So if there's an uprising, the neighbor down the street might be the one carrying the machine gun. Excuse me. Got a little hack going on here. You can live with it, can't you? What I really need is a bottle of Jack to kind of chase this away. But since we're live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube, allow me just a moment to just stay with water. No, that doesn't taste like Jack. I can tell you, it's water. Anyway, I could get a bottle that's not, you can't see through. You wouldn't know, would you? Never mind. So here we are with this issue. NATO's general secretary said there is no evidence of de-escalation. And Russia is increasing the number of troops, according to him. That's according to The Guardian on reporting that. UN Secretary of State Antony Blinken, let me read his story because he also is being quoted. And his statement is, according to him, the U.S. government has not seen Russian forces pull back from the border with Ukraine and has instead witnessed additional Kremlin units moving toward the former Soviet country. Ukraine was part of the USSR before it broke away. And in fact, Blinken said, we continue to see critical units moving toward the border, not away from the border. There's what Russia says, then there's what Russia does. We haven't seen any pullback of its forces. Which brings us to this whole issue that this is still very confusing for the people. The people of Ukraine, they're having to rely on the reports they're getting from the Ukrainian government, and the Ukraine government is apparently saying it's not really happening. They're not moving back. The Russian people are being told we are moving back. The world is being told both of those stories. Putin knows exactly what he's doing in the sense that if they're going to actually move back, they're just posturing, puffing up the chest, looking strong and bold, much like Biden did yesterday. I'm going to give Biden credit. I'm going to give him credit. He made it through without stumbling, and he sounded as best he can. And, of course, it's terrible for me to bring that up since my voice is breaking up a little bit today. But as best he could, Biden made it very clear that Russia needs to step back.
Because this is about more than just Russia and Ukraine. It's about standing for what we believe in, for the future we want for our world, for liberty, the right of countless countries to choose their own destiny, and the right of people to determine their own futures, for the principle that a country can't change its neighbor's borders by force. That's our vision. And toward that end, I'm confident that vision, that freedom will prevail.
Biden is correct that this is more than just Russia-Ukraine. And the whole world is watching, especially with Biden being president of the U.S. China is watching. North Korea is watching. Iran is watching. But there's that one line he makes in his statement, reference the borders. Mark, I'm going to ask you to pick up the Biden bite again. You start it, and let's hear the whole thing, and I'll point out where I really want to get involved. Go ahead, Biden, one more time.
Because this is about more than just Russia and Ukraine. It's about standing for what we believe in, for the future we want for our world, for liberty, the right of countless countries to choose their own destiny, and the right of people to determine their own futures, for the principle that a country can't change its neighbor's borders.
Stop it. Stop it right there. Let's stop that. He's talking about another country can't change another country's borders. In other words, you can't come in and say it's our country. What the hell are we doing in South border for the U.S.? We're pretty much becoming an annex of Mexico and all the triangle countries below that, and any other illegals who want to come across. We have no southern border, but he is very big about talking about the sanctity of the borders. Of course, he's talking about sanctity in the sense that you cannot illegally come in here and take it over. Or is he saying you can come here illegally if you're not trying to overthrow our country? But we don't know that some of those coming across our southern border are not interested in overthrowing our country, do we? We don't know what kind of jihadists have slipped in under all of this. There will be a day of reckoning, and it will be nasty when it happens. Now, the other thing about Putin saying, their minister of their information office saying, we're pulling back, we're backing off, we're easing up things. Foot's off the pedal a little bit. Not quite all reverse, but we're at least in neutral, and the next step maybe is to drop in reverse. Or is it? Well, today, Senator Dan Sullivan, Republican, Alaska, on the Hugh Hewitt show. Now, Dan Sullivan served in the Marines, and he was asked, do you believe Putin, or do you think this is just that Putin is playing us?
I think it's a head fake, and I think we need to be ready for the head fake. And what I've been saying all along is we need to be ready for something much bigger, and it's what what I call the new era of authoritarian aggression, led by Putin, led by Xi Jinping. And I think it's going to be with us for decades, Hugh, and I think we need a new mindset. Everybody talks about great power competition. It's not great power competition. Russia, in my view, is not a great power. It's a mafia state acting as a gas station. But it is an aggressive power, and so is China, and we're not ready for this right now.
I like what he had to say. Again, that's Senator Sullivan, Dan Sullivan, Republican of Alaska. Served in the Marines, he said, I see Russia, let me quote him exactly, Russia, in my view, is not a great power. It's a mafia state acting as a gas station. That's pretty good language. I like that a lot. Yeah, we don't really know, but we got to continue to watch. Which brings us to something, if many of you will recall, that was in play a few decades ago. And the phrase gets thrown around a few times now anyway. That phrase came from Ronald Reagan when it came to dismantling missiles and reducing the count and everything. He said, we're going to trust, but we're going to verify. Now, I like that. It's like me calling you on a bluff. I mean, you might have the hand you're representing, but I got too many chips in there to just walk away. So I might be paying for information I already have, or I think I have, but then again, I want to verify, and I want to see that hand. I want to see, is it really beating me, or are you going to try to bluff your way through? And so that point came up in a discussion with Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State under Trump, and the issue in particular, that statement, going back to Reagan, trust but verify. Pompeo likes it, but he also adds a touch different.
I might add distrust, but verify. I heard Putin today speaking, acting as if he was the peacemaker when he was, in fact, the person who brought all this current kerfuffle on. We shouldn't credit him for now making a statement that says, well, maybe it's time for me to negotiate and I'll pull some of my troops back. You know, the other thing we need to make sure to keep in mind, Brett, is that it's not binary. We talk about it, invasion or not. In fact, we saw the cyber attacks today. We'll see where they actually came from. But Vladimir Putin's been at war with the West for an awfully long time, and in Ukraine in particular. Can't forget he took one-fifth of that country just a handful of years ago. We always knew that he needed to make sure and have good conversations, develop whatever level of relationship you could, work together. If you can save lives in a place like Russia, you ought to do that. But when you came to defending America's interests, we were pretty clear we were going to do that every single day.
Every single day. I do like what he said. I mean, Reagan said, trust but verify. Pompeo says, distrust but verify. You heard him mention the hacking, the cyber hacking. Now, we knew that's going to be part of, if Ukraine's to be invaded, that's also going to be preceded by probably rockets and missiles and a cyber attack to shut down everything in the country they can. Word coming out today from U.S. security agencies in a public advisory issued just today. Russian government hackers have acquired sensitive information on the development and deployment of U.S. weapons by breaching American defense contractors over the last 2 years. That shouldn't really be that much of a surprise, but the information gathered is, they say, unclassified, but offers, quote, I'm quoting the security agency, the FBI, National Security Agency, the U.S. Cybersecurity, and Infrastructure Security Agency, all according to them, the information gathered is unclassified, but offers, quote, significant insight into U.S. weapons platforms development and deployment timelines. That's one of the cleanest, clearest public statements we've seen from our government, that Kremlin-linked hackers have been gathering intel on U.S. defense contractors and have for 2 years. And other hacks that have taken place that we've traced back probably to Russian hackers or Russian-connected hackers, and Putin said, oh, I don't know nothing about that. You know darn well nothing like that takes place without Putin's stamp of approval. You know that. And that's just Russia, not China. Russia is just a mafia-run gas station, as Senator Sullivan said. Well, in Canada, the truck convoy continues, the pressure continues, and Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana breaks some of it down for us.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What I think we're seeing in Canada is the tyranny of the managerial elite over the working class majority. I don't know Prime Minister Trudeau. I'm sure he is a warm and loving human being, but his leadership has been underwhelming. He's misjudged the situation. As to the truckers, their protests are not about the vaccine. Most of them are already vaccinated. Here's what I hear the truckers say. They're saying, look, Mr. Prime Minister, we've been through 2 years of pandemic restrictions. Our lives have been turned upside down. Our livelihoods have been threatened. Our kids have lost months, maybe years from their education. You say follow the science, Mr. Prime Minister. Let's follow the science. We look around. We see the Omicron variant. Its virulence waning. Most of us have immunity. We're either natural or we're vaccinated. So what, Mr. Prime Minister, is your roadmap for getting government off our backs and allowing us to get back to normal?
Good question by Senator Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, and his Cajun accent. I did love that, don't you? Prime Minister Trudeau's roadmap is more government control. Before we wrap up this hour, I want to share some comments he made about communism is good. Yeah, I'll get to that later. But what he did the other day, of course, is enact the Emergency Act, originally passed in 1988. It demands a high legal bar to be involved. It may only be used in an urgent and critical situation that seriously endangers lives, health, or safety of Canadians. This is far from it. Truckers blocking intersections? Okay. Blowing horns? Come on. Is that going to kill anybody? And in fact, the Canadian version of the ACLU is even farther left than the U.S. ACLU, and they're crying out, foul, you cannot do that. But he's still doing it. The Ontario Premier, Doug Ford, echoing arguments from the Freedom Convoy protesters, demanding coronavirus resolutions be lifted, saying Canadians need to respect democracy and freedoms and liberties. But Trudeau, he just doesn't get that. And Trudeau, picture this. I can't do it. I'm trying. Trudeau is Canadian, French, as is the nation in many parts. And he is also upper crust. You know, one of those with their nose up in the air. They could balance a pencil on their nose. It's stuck so high in the air. Here's again how Senator John Kennedy, Cajun, describes Trudeau.
His plan for convincing the truckers that they are wrong is by saying, you're a bunch of stupid idiots. Here's what I hear the prime minister saying to the truckers. Look, truckers, I'm smart. You're not. I'm educated. You're not. I drink caramel frappuccinos. You don't. I eat bacon-wrapped dates and tuna tartare. You don't even know what that is. So sit down and shut up. If you're going to be a smart ass, first you have to be smart. Otherwise, you're just an ass. And I think he needs to recalibrate and realize what this is all about.
Yeah, I need to recalibrate, recalculating. Again, the Ontario Premier said there's rebel rousers. Don't mention the truck convoy. There's rebel rousers. And they're just hardworking people that just don't believe in the vaccines. That's their choice. He said it's about democracy and freedoms and liberties, as much as I said a moment ago. So now, the Ontario Premier is announcing the end to capacity limits within most establishments indoor come Monday. Vaccine passport system will end March 1. Everything's beginning to close down. And, of course, in this nation, too, because November 8, election time is coming. But I want to share something from Project Veritas that shows you the real aim and goal of the Biden administration and all of those who are in charge, and they want to make your children pawns in their game.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible.
So you're going to have to get an annual shot. I mean, it hasn't been formally announced yet. So you don't want to, like, rile everyone up.
The drug companies, the food companies, the vaccine companies, they pay us hundreds of millions of dollars a year to hire and keep the reviewers to approve their products. If they can get every person required at an annual vaccine, that is a recurring return of money going into their company.
How about that? That is the FDA Executive Officer Christopher Cole with the FDA for 22 years, caught on camera by Project Veritas at a restaurant talking to someone. He knew he was being interviewed, but he didn't really know he was being taped, and he did not know it was a Project Veritas. And he said, you're going to have to get an annual shot. It hasn't been formally announced yet. And he said, reference President Biden, he said, Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible. He said on vaccines for toddlers, not going to approve emergency use authorization for children 5 years old or less, but There's a lot of money being made by Pfizer and the drug companies, and they have to renew those clearances every year, so there's more money coming in. Now, when he was approached today and a response, first, well, I thought I was just having a private conversation. You're sitting in a public restaurant. Anyone could hear you. This is the idiocy of some of these people. They get caught on tape saying something like that and said, well, that's not really what I said. Yeah, you did. Here's the tape. Well, I didn't know I was being interviewed. So what? You still said it. Remember the Project Veritas attacking the abortion clinics, where one of them is giddy about, well, I hope we can sell enough fetus parts that I can get a Maserati. Well, I didn't know I was being interviewed. That's unfair. That's not fair. If we played fair, would we ever get the truth from some of these people? The answer is no. Now, on the heels of that being released, listen to this. We already have at this time 25 states have lifted all or most mask mandates except for children so far. They're still under. Now, the Centers for Disease Control, CDC director, said today, we're going to soon put guidance in place on wearing a mask. They're going to look at it again, and we're going to come in and say, we're going to revise mask policy. In other words, we're going to do something about it. What's making all the changes? Pressure, protests, people saying to hell with it anyway, the convoy. And then there's this. I told you we are broadcasting live, also live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. You can go to Larry Connors USA YouTube. You can see and watch the program and see how Natalie undressed today. And you can also add comments at that location. And Andrew Boots on the Ground sent word in, and I love this, he's absolutely right. Vaccines, restrictions, and masks could not stop COVID. Vaccines, restrictions, and masks could not stop COVID. It takes midterm elections to do that. You're right. You're right, Andrew, just as we've been saying. Come November, what COVID? And same thing out of Canada. I told you earlier about the Ontario minister, and he's saying, we need to move on. The world is past this. Let's get on with it. In other words, just quit messing with it. They all recognize it. And yet Trudeau still trying to crack down on the truckers, the convoys, and the new fund that was created because the fund originally was sending something, collecting something like $10 million for the truckers. They decided, oh, this is a nasty protest and it's causing anger and so forth. So GoFundMe withdrew the money, said we will send it to charities. And when that outcry came from those, said we didn't want to send it to particular charities you choose because you're the same group that more than willingly raised money for Black Lives Matter and Antifa to carry out violence across this nation. I'm not talking about blocking an intersection. I'm talking about setting fire to businesses, looting, attacking police constantly, Molotov cocktails. And none of that has happened with the truckers' convoy. Have there been some arrests? Yeah, because the truckers wouldn't move it. So now they're going to be yanking them out of the trucks? They've been trying to get tow trucks to come in and move some of these trucks because the drivers won't move. Well, the tow truck operators in Canada say, not too busy, just can't do it. They're not going to do it. Supposedly some American tow companies had trucks big enough to move those trucks. They're going to go help. Don't do it. If you're an American trucking company, a tow truck company, don't do that. The other thing is, we're relying on so much of this information from Rochelle Walensky, who's now going to change her mask policy, and Dr. Marty McCary was on Fox Business News, and he's saying that CDC, when you're told to follow the science, I don't know how many times I've discussed this with you, medical science or political science, Dr. McCary says it's atrocious what the CDC is doing, and in fact they're using your children is pawns in their game.
If you look at what Justice Sotomayor said during the Supreme Court proceedings, where she believed 100,000 kids were currently in the hospital, that's the sort of distorted perception of risk that's really contributing to a lot of this. If you look at all causes of death among children, they are still 8 to 9 times more likely to die from independently motor vehicle accidents, homicide, and suicide, independent. So we have really created a situation now where kids are bearing the harshest restrictions over adults arguing, and they're using the kids as basically the front lines of the battle.
Front lines of the battle. You want to send your kids into war? Because that's what they're doing with your kids. By still, in some areas, lifting restrictions across the state, maybe even dropping vax documents, but kids in school, you still have to be masked up. Do you remember the Johns Hopkins study? And he's with Johns Hopkins, as a matter of fact, that came out and said the draconian restrictions and lockdowns did really nothing to stop deaths, maybe 0.08%. Oh, I might have been 0.02%, more think about it. I think the 0.08 was actually 0.008 on the number of children who died of COVID. Less than 1,000 out of 1,000,000. But Dr. McCary said all this guidance we're getting and how it comes to us and how it's being used when it comes to the CDC, folks, you're not going to like what he has to say. But when it comes to the CDC, you basically have to question it much more than we've been doing so.
It really is offensive. It should be offensive to anybody who believes in science, including our nation's physicians. This is using science as political propaganda. The absolute worst studies that were done during the pandemic came out of the CDC. The Maricopa mask study, so deeply flawed, the number of schools in the study didn't even match the number of schools in the geographic area they said they were studying. The ignoring of natural immunity was based on two highly flawed CDC studies, and yet they parrot these studies again and again, and much of the media just reports it out. If you look at most of the misguidance that we've gotten, it has been based on flawed science, with a lot of the community complicit in what they're putting out.
The community he's talking about would be the media. And he says all they're doing is putting out stories that fit the narrative.
Basically what they've been doing is saying, we've made our decision, now let's go find some data to support it. And that represents a major shift. We've never seen a political agency within our health agent, a political agenda among our health agencies so dramatic. And the biggest issue, of course, is they've concentrated their decision and shut out other opinions out there. That should be our biggest lesson from the entire pandemic.
It certainly should be. And also keep in mind, the FDA, when they were being sued for information, give us the details you looked at before you approved the vaccines. They said, oh, it'll take 55 years. A judge in Texas says, no, we're not going to give you that kind of time. They're not going to give them that kind of time. And I agree. This is a nonprofit group that included public health, medical professionals. They wanted transparency of the COVID-19 data. You were able to approve on an emergency basis some of the vaccines, and I'm not anti-vaccine. I think it saved some lives. But if you could do that in that record time, well, then let us see the documents you relied on. Oh, it'd take too long to get it out to you. And yet you use the same documents to approve it that quickly? So a federal judge in Texas is denying attempts to keep the information held back for 55 years. Coming up, President Trump close to launching his new social media platform, and also still fighting back against the Russian collusion story. And I'm going to play a clip you've heard before, but I absolutely love it, and I know you do too. Stand by.
Signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know. hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy. Come on, let's go. Real slow. Don't you see that this is perfect?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
Well, there's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
As a matter of fact, I don't know that. Okay.
No, she doesn't know it because she doesn't want to know it. That was an interview Trump gave in October 2020 when he was still president. And he said, this is the biggest crime, he said, is how they were spying on my campaign. No Russian collusion, but they were spying on my campaign. No. You can't say that. There's no evidence. We're CBS News. We can't say things we don't have evidence for. You have, and you probably will again. But now, the Durham report is beginning to blow that whole story apart, isn't it? We're going to spend more time on the Durham report reaction from it coming up in the next hour. And that's also going to include Hans von Spakovsky for the Heritage Foundation, because there are a lot of bombshells yet to be uncovered. There are numerous indictments that might be coming. They're going to be lower people, but you get the small fish to turn over. And then the question is, how high up will it go? Could it lead to what that yell used to be when Trump was campaigning against Hillary? Lock her up, lock her up. I don't know. We'll see. I'd mentioned earlier that the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was praising Communist China. Yeah. It was November 2013. Then he was the Liberal Party leader. And he was being asked by a woman, which nation besides Canada do you most admire and why? We, of course, are adjacent to Canada. I think Trudeau knows that. His answer, there's a level of admiration I actually have for China because their basic dictatorship, not acknowledging it is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and saying we need to go greenest fastest, we need to start, you know, investing in solar. Oh, they're doing that, but they're still polluting. They're investing in solar by building turbines for solar windmills to put up in the U.S. and elsewhere. That's what they're doing. And they have the lithium mining, which they're doing, usually using slave labor. And we're not allowed because of concerns about the environment. We have one of the largest lithium deposits, which would be used for these batteries, for cars, if we're ever going to do that. In South Dakota, in that area. But we're not allowed to dig in there right now because of the environmentalists. And he went on to say how great China was. His father, who had also been a prime minister, Pierre Trudeau, during the 60s, was also enamored with China's dictatorship. The Washington Post described at that time the great leap forward that China made as the biggest mass murder in the history of the world. So both of the Trudeaus think dictatorships are a good idea. AOC and the rest of the squad, why don't you go up to Canada? You'd be welcome there. Don't sit here and try to radically transform our nation into what you think it should be. Trudeau would go along with you. And that's what they're trying to do right now with the truckers and to shut it down. Enacting this emergency act, they have made it very clear what they will try to do. They have issued a statement and telling the truckers, we will take your license, we will take your insurance, we will take your homes, I mean, they're going to do everything they can. They're going to suspend the insurance, target crowdfunding platforms that might raise you money because it would be considered under terrorist financing rules. Because you give money to the Truckers Foundation, the Freedom Convoy, for either gas or food, then you also are going to be linked as a terrorist. They want to do that in Canada. I hate to see it happen, but so be it. But in this country, I still believe we are the land of the free, and that's the way we're going to stay. We're going to be law-abiding, but we're not going to suddenly decide, oh, yeah, let's just bow down. Why don't we go kiss Biden's finger, his ring? Somebody wake him up, and I'll tell him that. Reminding you, we are live streaming right now on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA, not Facebook, YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube. Tune in. You'll see us the next hour. Be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.